Now, the epistle to be read for Septuagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapters 9 and 10. Brethren, know you not that they that run in the race all run indeed, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain, and every one that striveth for the mastery refraineth himself from all things. And they indeed that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run, not as at an uncertainty. I so fight, not as one beating the air. But I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all in Moses were baptized, and in the cloud and in the sea. And all did eat the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 20. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like to a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, "Go ye also into my vineyard, and I will give you what shall be just." And they went out their way, and again he went out about the sixth, the ninth hour, and did in like manner. But about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he saith to them, "Why stand you here all the day idle?" They say to him, "Because no man hath hired us." He saith to them, "Go ye also into my vineyard." And when evening was come, the lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, "Call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last even to the first." When therefore they were come that came about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first also came, they thought that they should receive more, and they also received every man a penny. And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, "These last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us that have borne the burden of the day and of the heats." But he answering said to one of them, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine and go thy way. I will also give to this last even as to thee. Or is it not lawful for me to do what I will? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So shall the last be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. Words taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, today is Septuagesima Sunday. And with Septuagesima Sunday, we begin today a transition. A transition from the joyful season of Christmas to the penitential time of Lent. And although there are no public penances prescribed, such as fasting, the Church nevertheless vests her priests in violet vestments, which color symbolizes penance. In the Mass this morning, neither the Gloria in Excelsis Deo nor the Alleluia verse are said. And thus the Church slowly prepares us for the holy and penitential season of Lent, which begins in a few weeks on Ash Wednesday. Now, among the many holy patriarchs and prophets of the Old Testament was Moses. Moses was a descendant of Levi, one of the 12 sons of the patriarch Jacob. And he was raised up by God to bring the Israelite people out of Egypt, where they had been enslaved for almost 400 years. even as he was called to announce to the Israelites the law of God and lead them to the promised land. A land which had been promised to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and all their descendants. Moses then was a type. He was a figure for our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the promised land was a figure or type for heaven. You see, my dear people, as Moses led the people out of Egypt to the promised land, a land which Scripture describes as flowing with milk and honey, so our Lord leads us out of this sinful world to heaven, the true promised land. But St. Paul tells us in today's epistle that God was not pleased with most of the chosen people who had left Egypt with Moses. He says of this, "I will not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all in Moses were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. And all did eat the same spiritual food, and all did drink the same spiritual drink. And they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased." And then St. Paul said this, "For they were overthrown in the desert." St. Paul then adds in this first epistle to the Corinthians chapter 10, "These things were done in a figure of us, that we should not covet evil things, as they also coveted." The apostle thus compares the Corinthians and all Christians of every age, even to the end of time, to the Israelites at the time of the Exodus. As the Israelites had to pass through the midst of the Red Sea to get to the promised land, so Christians must also pass through the waters of baptism. As the Israelites were nourished in the desert by the same spiritual food and spiritual drink, which was the manna, that is, bread, which God actually let fall from heaven each day, and the waters that came forth miraculously from the rocks after being struck by the rod of Moses. So true Christians are nourished spiritually by the sacraments, but especially the true manna, that is the true bread from heaven, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Eucharistic Christ. And yet, despite all the spiritual favors and temporal blessings given to the Israelites on their journey, God was not well pleased with most of them. Did you know that it is said that over 600,000 men who were at least 20 years of age and older went out of Egypt at the time of the Exodus? That number does not include women and children. But of these 600,000 men, only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, eventually reached the promised land. The reason why God was so displeased with most of those Israelites and why so few of them who had left Egypt reached the promised land was because, my dear friends, they coveted evil things and they did evil things. The evil things they coveted and did were sin. They committed sins of idolatry. They fashioned and worshiped a golden calf. They committed sins of drunkenness and the most shameful impurities and adulteries. They blasphemed God, even as they murmured against him and complained. And this complaining they did almost from the very moment the great exodus out of Egypt commenced. But for the sins of idolatry, impurity, adultery, and drunkenness, God punished them. And one day, 23,000 were put to death. And as I said, only 2 of the 600,000 men were permitted to enter the promised land. The Israelites remained in the desert for almost 40 years, wandering about. And this was a punishment for their sins and a means of purification. That is, God would use this to purify them of their complaining spirit. My dear friends, this is a warning to us. This is a warning to us. That is why St. Paul spoke of it in this epistle to the Corinthians. By the mercy of God, we have the means to reach heaven, the true promised land. We have the one true Catholic faith. We are members of the one true Catholic Church, outside of which no one can be saved. We have the Mass, we have the sacraments. And yet, how many Catholics will not make it to heaven in the midst of the Mass, in the midst of the sacraments, because they covet and they do evil things? We must therefore take to heart the words of the Apostle. These things, he said, were done in a figure for us, that we should not covet evil things as they also coveted. In other words, my dear people, we must not only believe the sacred truths of our holy Catholic faith, but we must ever strive to live our faith. That is, to receive the sacraments often with great love and gratitude, to be faithful to the observances of the fasts and abstinences of the Church, to be faithful to daily prayer, the daily family rosary, and to be so careful to steer clear of mortal sin, especially sins against holy purity, which so characterize our world today. I know, my dear friends, that it is impossible to be completely sheltered in our world. I know that we have to live in this world to a greater or lesser degree depending on our state in life. But still, my dear people, we must all live in this world in such a way that we are not part of its corruption nor its rebellion against God. And this we can only do by God's grace, by the sacraments, by daily fervent prayer, by true devotion to the most blessed Virgin Mary, who was given to us by Christ Himself to be our mother, our protectress. And by keeping out of our hearts and out of our homes the grave immodesties and impurities that have so prevalent a place on the television, in the music today, and in the technology, which things, especially the television, the social media, the cell phones, the iPhones, the iPads, and everything else that goes with that, such care must be used. Otherwise, these things will be, without any doubt, the certain means by which one will be damned to hell forever. And finally, my dear friends, unlike the Israelites of old, we must not be given to a complaining spirit or murmuring against the providence of God. How much they complained about their hardships and the difficulties of their journey. And thus, how great was their ingratitude to God. For understand, my dear people, that complaining and murmuring are often a manifestation of an ungrateful heart. When all is said and done, the Israelites at the time of the Exodus were ungrateful to God. And in this ingratitude, they complained. Do we, my dear people, complain? Do we complain in the midst of the difficulties of our state in life? Do we question the providence of God in regard to our own lives? Do we question God's providence in regard to our nation and the sudden turn of events over the last year? A certain Carmelite priest once recorded, "Complaints always make the heart bitter." That's what he wrote. Complaints always make the heart bitter and render us, he says, ill-disposed to accept the trials of our state in life calmly. He then goes on to encourage all Christians, whether priests or consecrated religious, married people or single people, to strive to conform themselves to Jesus Christ in His passion. Our Lord, who never once complained of His sufferings, who never complained of His sadness or the grave injustices He bore for us. In other words, when we are faced with bodily pains, or when we encounter great suffering or the trials and tribulations of life, instead of turning to ourselves and complaining, or asking God, why are you permitting this? We should rather calmly turn our thoughts to Christ. And we should say to him at that moment, in all love and patience, oh my Jesus, I will suffer this silently for thee. Oh my Jesus, I will suffer this silently for thee. We really are, my dear friends, we really are like to the Israelites of old who passed through the desert to the promised land. For we are passing through the desert of this world to heaven. But if we strive to live good Catholic lives in the state of sanctifying grace, if we bless God in times of joy and in times of sorrow, if we bless God in times of peace and in times of trouble, if we bless God in times of health and in times of sickness and pain, and if we thank God in times of plenty and in times of want. Unlike most of those Israelites of whom God was very displeased, he will be very pleased with us. And one day, if we persevere, he will, by his providence, he will, by his love, and by his grace, bring us to the true promised land of heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.